Welcome to the HR Chat Show, one of the world's most downloaded and shared podcasts designed for HR pros, talent execs, tech enthusiasts, and business leaders. For hundreds more episodes and what's new in the world of work, subscribe to the show, follow us on social media, and visit hrgazette.com.
Welcome everyone to another episode, another special episode. I am so pleased to be joined today by Matt Reimer, a talent acquisition executive and entrepreneur with over 20 years of TA experience in two of the largest health systems in the United States. He has spent the last 2.5 years at Trinity Health. Before that, he spent 17 years at University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. In his time at both organizations, Matt has built and led teams across the entire recruitment function, from sourcers and recruiters to marketing and operations. His early career as a recruiter in technology has led to a passion for software development and a focus on enabling TA teams through smart processes and technology deployments. When Matt is not working in TA or running his podcast, he's spending time with his wife and two girls, or he can be found pedaling his road bike or hiking the nearest mountain. Thanks for joining me, Matt. Please introduce yourself to the folks. Tell them anything I missed.
That's an amazing intro there. And thanks for having me on your show. Excited to be here today and excited to get to meet you at TA Week. It was a good event and I was happy to be a part of it. So now I'm just happy to be here.
You presented on day 3 of TA Week. Mm-hmm. That was the Talent Sourcing Strategies Day. Can you just give us an overview of your session and what you mean by employee-powered hiring?
Yeah, no, good question. The presentation that I gave is one that, you know, really from a case study perspective, came out of Trinity Health, where I spent 3 years at, and still one of, now that I'm at Rogue Hire, one of our largest clients. And it was really, focused around overhauling our employee referral program, really from top to bottom. And so when we talk about employee-powered hiring, really what we're talking about is, as it sounds, us talent acquisition, really finding unique, novel, but then simple ways at some level to empower, in Trinity's case, our 120,000 employees, to help us with recruitment, to help us with hiring, and so that's what we mean by employee powered hiring.
Awesome. So you talked about employee power hiring from the employee referral program perspective.
Yep.
What would you say are the key components of an effective ERP?
Yeah, and at Trinity, for example, we're on a journey to be an elite or to be more than an effective, run an effective employee referral program. But I think there's a couple of, core foundation pieces of an effective ERP. Number one is really alignment, and not only strategically, but culturally from the top, right? Like, hey, are we truly behind, empowering our employees to evangelize and then recruit into our organization, And so what you'll generally find is that organizations with, the best, strongest cultures also have a strong ERP. And so it kind of starts from that top-down tone that the leaders set, from a culture perspective. Once you kind of have that foundation, laid, from my vantage point, there's a couple of things that really, enable that to blossom. Number one is, clear and consistent policy, right? And so at Trinity, one of the things that we spent a lot of time on was getting that first generation of our revamped policy put together and strengthening that. So it is very clear to everyone what the rules of engagement are around the ERP. Not only what the rules of engagement are, but what are the rewards? What's in it for me? Right, what's in it for me participating in the referral program? One of the biggest issues that most organizations have large organizations will have, they have this black hole, you know, phenomenon, meaning like, hey, I apply to the organization and I never get, you know, any love back. I never hear back. Right. And that's one of the, what's one of the things that within any high performing referral program, you have to eradicate, right? Which is those feedback loops and the understanding of, hey, when me, your employee provides you a referral, I know where it's at in time and space. I have a good sense of what's going on with it and whether or not the person gets hired or they get dispositioned out, you know, I'm kind of in the loop, right? And so those are some key factors, you know, on the outward experience. The last thing I'd say is, you know, the recruiter is a key stakeholder. HR is a key stakeholder in this process. And a lot of times what you'll find is that due to the inefficiency, the tracking, the payout cycles, you know, just trying to administer it, it doesn't get prioritized within HR and TA. And so, you know, I think the last thing that I would focus in on is clean process, and then enabled by technology. I mean, we live in an era here where there's a ton of automation, you know, options in our tech stack and, you know, smart automation of pieces of this process, specifically, you know, the payout cycles, for example, the administration of some of the policy, in my opinion, as we move forward, is an absolute must on these large programs. Hey, if you're a smaller size entity where, you know, I've got 1,000 employees or I've got 500 employees, you know, you probably could administer that off a spreadsheet and get away with it. But, you know, at 120,000 employee organization, you know, heck, even a 5,000 employee organization, you need some scale to make sure that you're not allowing things to kind of fall through the cracks. So I don't know if that's kind of what you're looking for, but that's kind of how I view it.
Thanks for tuning in to the HR Chat Podcast. If you're enjoying this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you could subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. And now, back to the conversation.
We always framed employee referral programs as a benefit for employees, but hearing you talk, if there are clear benefits for organizations to have an employee referral program. In your experience, you know, what have been, you know, one or two of those top benefits for employers to run effective employee referral programs?
Yeah, I think, you know, from a talent acquisition perspective, the first thing that comes to mind is just sourcing at scale, right? And so like, and I'll use the, you know, the healthcare analogy, just because it's where I, you know, hang out and play on a day-to-day basis. But, you know, the reality is that, you know, we don't have enough sourcing talent in most of our talent acquisition operations. And so we can find a way to inspire our employees, on average in a high functioning referral program. An employee that's engaged will refer you three unique referrals annually. And that's just on average. You'll obviously have folks that are, you know, referring much, much more. You'll have folks that are referring much, much less. But on average, that's what you see. And so not only quantity is value, but then also quality of those referrals generally are higher, right? These are people, you know, your employees that understand your culture really well. They understand your mission, your vision, values. And, you know, I think at some level, all of us, if we're going to put our name to somebody, wants to make sure that that's somebody that we would want to work with on a day-to-day basis. So I think quantity on sourcing is a benefit back to the organization. Quality is certainly a benefit back to the organization. And then depending upon how much you actually invest in your program, it also could be cost, right? And so when you think about the amount of money that we spend out on places like Indeed, right? When we're all trying to wean ourselves off of Indeed, you know, depending upon how you structure your incentives and your cash outlays, you actually could get down to a more competitive cost per hire off of your referral program. And so, you know, I think it strikes on what most organizations, you know, look for from a hard dollar ROI. I think the other benefit that is a little bit softer, but in many organizations, I think it's important. It's engagement, right? And so it's another way to engage our employees. It's another reason for us to have ongoing conversations with our employees. We had talked a little bit about at TA Week just about how important it is to get the ERGs together on this initiative. And so, like, if you have an initiative, you know, in flight inside of your organization, which most organizations do, to become more diverse. Well, hey, this is a mechanism that we all can rally behind and find a way to bring more diverse talent to an organization. So I think there's also some very, some very cultural benefits to having a thriving employee referral, organization. One thing that I've talked about in the past is this idea of willingness to refer. And if you've got an organization of employees that are not willing to refer talent into your organization, it's telling you something. And then the reverse holds true as well. If you've got an organization that's highly willing to refer talent, that's telling you something as well. So I think there's some good benefits, kind of in that retention and engagement bucket as well.
Awesome. Awesome benefits. And that leads me to my next question.
Sure.
In your experience, why do you think organizations aren't investing more resources, whether it be money and or these types of robust programs, yeah, into ERPs, when the data shows that they have a higher ROI than other recruitment sources do?
Yeah, it's a good question. We run at Rogue Hire our annual benchmarking study. So we study 95 health systems from across the U.S. And one of those that we look at is percent of hire from referrals. And you see at median, in essence, 30% of hires coming from referrals in an elite class. An organization that really is an elite performing organization, is getting 40, 45, maybe even upwards of 50% of their hires from referrals. So your question is like, hey, what's going on with the other end of that? Organizations that are only maybe getting 5%, 10% maybe of their external hires from referrals, why are they not investing in that? I believe it comes down to a couple of things. Number one is that maybe the organization itself is not culturally mature, not culturally where it needs to be. And so it's just not something that it is focused upon because they've got other things culturally that they're working on, right? And the reality is even if they had invested in it, even if they had put more money into it, if culturally it wasn't right, their employees still aren't going to refer into their organization. And so I think there is a little bit of an organizational dynamic versus an organization, right, that maybe doesn't even have a program, but is a thriving culture. They're referring talent into their organization regardless. Like, hey, you have got to come work here, Kirsten. This place is awesome. I want to find you a way to come work, with me. So I think that's one thing. I think the other thing is that it's not a shiny penny. We've been talking about referrals for a long, long time. It is a tried and true program if you invest time and energy into it, but it's not a shiny penny. It's not the latest and greatest, right? There's dynamics within the referral program that I think are shiny. How people are in technology that's being used. We use an app called Aaron that automates a ton of our process, that gives a mobile app accessibility into our clinical providers. So I think there's shininess within it, but the idea of it is not necessarily a new idea. And so I think it's often overlooked, right? I think those are a couple of things that maybe come to mind. I think maybe the last thing is that, like, maybe when people think about referral programs, they think about, oh man, I've got to spend thousands of dollars that I don't have, right? I got to give these big bonuses, right? And the reality is that you don't always need to do that. I think maybe for some hard to fills, there could be some intriguing incentives, but what people want is recognition for their effort. And, I think on a modest budget, you can pull together unique ways using points and prizes to incent your organization correctly. And so I think sometimes people think about it, just from this perspective of, hey, I got to give away a $5,000 bonus, or hey, I got to give away just to have a referral program. And I think that's a misnomer.
Those are great points again, and things that organizations can think about when they are looking to redesign their ERPs. I want to go back to this notion of percentages, because you are speaking in, you know, relatable and in terms and data, proven data points. Sure. So thinking about Rogue Hire and what you're doing there with their employee referral program, mm-hmm. you've set what some would label an aggressive goal of getting 50% of your hires from employee referrals.
Yep.
Was it difficult to get buy-in from leadership? And what advice do you have for other TA leaders who want to engage in a similar undertaking?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kirsten. And I love that question, you know, because in the end, the leadership at Trinity, you know, which is one of our biggest, Trinity Health, which was one of Rogue Hire's biggest clients. And again, I had spent 3 years inside of that organization as an employee there. You know, their executives believed in the ROI, right? And so we brought the hard dollars forward. We were able to, you know, position the investment as an engagement opportunity for our, you know, staff to get involved in some of the staffing shortages that we have. You know, think about that. You know, we've got, you know, staffing shortages in healthcare, not enough nurses. Well, here's a way for you to help us recruit, you know, into your unit. Here's a way to bring fresh talent, you know, into Trinity. And so I think, you know, that burning platform that existed inside of healthcare was certainly something that, you know, we leveraged, if you will, if that's the right word. I don't even know that's the right word, but to carry the initiative forward, right? Like, if I didn't have that burning platform of not enough clinical talent, not enough nurses, you know, would it have fell short? Maybe, maybe not, but I had a burning platform. And so I think I would be, you know, if I was in a TA leader's shoes right now, I was listening to this and I was, you know, asking myself, like, all right, I want to go for a run to invest in this. I'm only at, you know, 10% of my external hires from referrals. I'm only at 15%. I want to become at least median. I got to invest in this. I know I need some things. I know I need some tech. I know I need some additional rewards budget. You know, I would be thinking about what is my burning platform inside of my organization. What's in it for your executive, right? We talked about what's in it for the employee, but what's in it for your executive? What pain is that going to relieve if you achieve your objectives, right? And so if I get to 30% external hires coming from referrals, if I do that, right? If you invest in this and if I do that, what's the benefit back to you? And so for us, it was reduction in nursing agency, you know, more higher quality talent coming in. And then in the end, us trying to find alternative sources for talent that we maybe haven't unearthed yet, right? And so it's like, hey, you know, these markets that we're recruiting out of, they're finite, right? And so how do we recruit more out of some of that pond that's maybe we perceive to be fully fished, but it's maybe not. And so, you know, I those are the things that come to mind. But you know, anytime you take something like this forward, I mean, you're dealing with CFOs, you're dealing with CEOs, you're dealing with Cs, right? And so you got to have the ROI nailed down, and you got to believe in it, right? And if you as a leader can't talk about it, can't talk about the and evangelize the value of it, you know, the leadership team just isn't going to buy it. You know, they're not going to buy, you know, in essence, what you're bringing forward. And, you know, sometimes, you know, using the word selling is a bad word, but it's not. You're selling an idea, right? And the idea is that, hey, there are companies that are at this level. There's no reason why we shouldn't be. Here's how we get there.
Wow, that was awesome. I also almost don't want to end our conversation, but
we can
I
keep
do
going.
I know, but I have to be aware of your time and
no, you're fine.
And the listening audience. I got to stick to the time constraints that I was given.
Oh,
so before I let you go,
sure.
Where can we go to learn more about you, about Rogue Hire, and all you're doing with building out?
I hang out on LinkedIn, you know, and so, you know, I'm certainly out there. You can DM me. I host a podcast that right now is healthcare talent acquisition, HR leader centric. You can listen more about referral program and much, much more on the pod, TA in the Trenches. But yeah, just hit me up with a DM out on LinkedIn. I'd be happy to engage.
Thank you so much once again. Yes. I've fully enjoyed our conversation and the carryover that you allow from TA Week. Speaking of, please join us next time for another robust conversation, a recap of another TA Week day right here on HR Gazette. Thank you.
Thank you, Kirsten.
Thanks for listening to the HR Chat Show. If you enjoyed this episode, why not subscribe and listen to some of the hundreds of episodes published by HR Gazette? And remember, for what's new in the world of work, subscribe to the show, follow us on social media, and visit hrgazette.com.